I thought I'd read a little reflection about the candle of peace. One of the hallmarks of the Christian story is when the angels appear to the shepherds and proclaim peace on earth. Jesus brought about peace in the most unexpected ways when he arrived. The Jews, particularly zealots, wanted a rebellion. They wanted their saviour to overturn the oppressive rule of the Romans and bring about peace in a violent way. But Jesus had something else in mind. Jesus brings us peace in a number of ways. First, he gives us inner peace. Because of his work on the cross, we have a chance to receive salvation and be indwelled by the Holy Spirit. This grants us an inner peace. Not only do we have peace that comes from our assurance of salvation, but we also have the peace of mind knowing God will heal this broken world and will come again. Second, we have peace with others. We put aside our differences, especially with other believers, because we belong to the same family. We have the same purpose, to let others know about the peace of Christ. The Hebrew word for peace, shalom, goes far beyond not fighting with others or peace as we know it. Shalom is about how things are meant to be, a slice of heaven. The peace of God allows us to look at others through heaven's eyes and help guide the world to see God's here and not yet here kingdom. Peace from God allows us to trust in God's promises through restful, tranquil faith despite the dark, scary world around us. Our peace can also stir the curiosity of others who want to know the reason for our faith in shaky times. We can reply, we are not afraid because we have the peace of Christ.
If you wish to follow in the Bibles, it's page 624, Psalm 130, page 624. Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness so that we can, with reverence, serve you. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits. And in his word, I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. Israel, put your hope in the Lord. For with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is from 1 Peter 1, starting at verse 3, and it's on page 12, I think it's 1217 or 1216 at the back. 17. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope for the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power and to the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an impressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Yes, Lord. As Helen comes up, Lord, we just thank you for Helen. We thank you for her deep love in her life for you. The work that you've been doing in her life for so many years. And we just thank you, Lord, for the words that you've put on Helen's heart this morning to bring and share with us. Lord, just bless Helen, and may her words have power to reach deep inside us. Amen.
Thank you. Well, thank you for having me back here this morning. It's lovely to be here. There are many themes given expression in Advent, but essentially it is a time of waiting. So I've called this talk Advent Waiting. This double nature of Advent is reflected in the lyrics of Charles Wesley's famous hymn, in which we remember Christ's first coming while praying for his return. So these lovely words, "Come, thou long-expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. From our fears and sins release us, let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art, dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. Born thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king, born to reign in us forever, now thy gracious kingdom bring. By thine own eternal spirit, rule in all our hearts alone. By thine all-sufficient merit, raise us to thy glorious throne." Words that look back to the significance of Jesus' birth, reflect on the enormous privilege we have now living in the era of the Messiah, the time of God's favour, where we can choose to believe in and receive Jesus, and then the words look forward to his coming again. Our first reading, Psalm 130, was described by 19th century Baptist minister Samuel Cox as a tiny gospel announcing the truths which men in every age need to know. The psalm is a call for help, a cry for forgiveness, and an acknowledgement of receiving our forgiveness. Verses 1 to 4, "Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, who could stand? But you, with you, there is forgiveness, so that we can, with reverence, serve you." And then it's all about waiting, waiting expectancy, waiting for the Lord in hope. "I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord, more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning." These are strong words, waiting with my whole being, putting my hope in the word of God. Knowing that the more time I spend in the Bible, the more my spirit is being strengthened and providing that anchor for my soul, as mentioned in Hebrews 6:19. And then there is waiting, more than watchmen wait for the morning. This is also very strong. The watchmen of the city in the Old Testament had an extreme responsibility. They kept watch during the night, and they would long for the dawn when their watch would come to an end, and they would be relieved of their duties. if they were negligent or fell asleep on their watch and failed to provide the alert of pending danger, then they would lose their lives. So we come back to Advent, and I ask myself, am I watching and waiting with such urgency and expectant hope? Am I ready for Jesus' return? Last week, Andrew was talking about hope as one of the themes of Advent. He spoke about the many personal benefits of the hope we have in Jesus and being open to opportunities we have to reflect that hope to others. This led me back to a time when I had explored the meaning of hope and found that hope and waiting are inextricably linked. About 10 years ago, I attended a Women's Day conference based on the verse from Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. There were testimonies from people who described their very difficult journeys and eventually how their hopes were fulfilled. And while as these testimonies were meant to be encouraging, and as Christians, I know we are meant to rejoice in others' fulfillment, I can remember at the time not feeling particularly uplifted when I was still in the place of hope deferred, or hope deferred as I saw it at the time. At the end of the conference, we were encouraged to take a stone to represent what we had become hopeless about and place it at the foot of a wooden cross and pick up a button which represented what we were hoping for and take it home. I still have that button, and more than 10 years later, on the face of it, nothing has changed, or has it? I started to look at the meaning of the word hope and discovered that in the Old Testament there are two main Hebrew words translated as hope. There is yakal, which means to wait for, and there is kavar, which also means to wait. But kavar comes from the Hebrew word for cord, and when you pull a cord tight, that is kavar. It means tension and expectation while you wait for something to happen. It made me think that either way in biblical Hebrew, hope is really waiting. The word used for hope in Proverbs 13:12 is kavar, referring to the tension and expectation while you wait, which it says can make your heart sick when it is deferred. The Hebrew word used for heart here in Proverbs 13:12 embodies not only the mental or emotional core, but the whole inward person. If something makes the heart sick, it causes despair and affliction. The Good News translation renders the verse like this: when hope is crushed, the heart is crushed. This made it sound to me as though deferred hope in Advent waiting would be very stressful, and surely it was not God's intention that we should all be crushed. But then I further learnt that biblical hope is not focused on circumstances. In fact, in the Bible, hopeful people began to realise that there was no evidence that things would get any better, but they chose to hope anyway. However, what really spoke to me was that biblical hope is based on a person. I learnt that what people were waiting for, what we are waiting for, is God himself. The Lord Jesus alone is the true fulfillment of our longings. Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." So I needed to get a new perspective. And then one morning, I sensed Jesus saying to me, in the context of me reflecting on the verse from Proverbs 13:12, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life." He said, "Don't you realize that I am hope? I am that longing fulfilled. I am the tree of life. You have me." I'll say it again. "Don't you realize that I am hope fulfilled? I am the tree of life. You have me." And it was at this point that I shifted my focus, and I began to understand what the Apostle Peter meant in our second reading when he said in 1 Peter 1:3, Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. When we make a decision to open the door and give our life to Jesus, we are born into a living hope. It is dynamic and changing and full of new life, where Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are constantly at work behind the scenes when we can't see what's happening, but there is change taking place. Looking back, I began to thank God for small changes that had taken place over the years and many blessings. I remembered from Zephaniah 4:10, "Don't despise the day of small things, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin," and I knew that I had a part to play. At the conference, we heard that even when it looks ridiculous to trust him, God wants the best for us, so to hold on to him tightly and never give up, never get tired of waiting. Psalm 63:8 says, "I cling to you, your strong right hand holds me securely." I'm still on a journey to stop putting my hope in what God will do for me and put my hope in him and his unfailing love, and to trust him and rest in him and wait for him. Even when things appear not to change, I can be assured that God is at work behind the scenes, and I can believe Psalm 37:7, which says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him." So remember that Advent itself is a season of waiting and an ancient invitation to slow down, to take stock and realign and deepen our relationship with Jesus, so that we are waiting for him with eager expectation and longing, just as the psalmist in our first reading and Peter in our second reading, which says in verses 8 to 9, "You have not seen him, but you love him. You do not see him now, but you believe in him. And so you rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy, because you are attaining the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls." The other day I heard the words of this song by Iamson, which seems appropriate at this time of Advent waiting. "Slow down. Where are you going? What's so important that can't wait? Tell me, what are you seeking? What is it that's keeping you from bringing me your questions? All that you carry, all that you bury underneath, just slow down. Just slow down and be with me. Rest now. Be in the present, here in the blessings of today. Listen, just for a moment. I am the only one with words to calm your worries. Focus your mind on me. I am the way to perfect peace. Just slow down and be with me." "Why hurry when you can walk with me? I'll be the light to guide your feet if you just slow down and be with me." I'll finish with an Advent prayer adapted from one by Henri Nouwen. "Lord Jesus, master of both the light and the darkness, send your Holy Spirit upon us now in the busyness of this time up to Christmas. We have so much to do, to seek quiet spaces, to hear your voice each day. We who are anxious over many things look forward to your coming among us. We who are blessed in so many ways long for the complete joy of your kingdom. We whose hearts are heavy seek the joy of your presence. We who are your people, for whom you have shown us the light, we seek your light more and more And to you we say, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.